We have a home run queen in here tonight. She hit a home run, which is something that is actually a benchmark. I've seen her hit a bunch of in-park home runs, but that's the difference in the in-park home run and when you just peer out and knock it out of the park. And just to make sure that they understood, and Pawpaw going to brag a little bit, just to make sure they understood who was batting, she went ahead and put in center field over. Right center. Right center. That's right. God, ain't that cool? All that work pays off. Y'all remember that. All your work pays off. God's good. Now, we're getting ready to I'm glad that we did communion today. It was perfect. Perfect timing. As usual, God's always got perfect timing. Amen. Be sure, Sister Kathleen had a major surgery Friday, and so did Brother Burton. Brother Burton fell and broke his hip, and so he had a hip replacement. He's doing great, but now Sister Kathleen, they said that they had to shock her this morning. So she was doing great, though, Friday. So I might ask, come on up here, Sister Dot. We're going to pray for Sister Kathleen right now. We're going to believe God's going to do something special for Sister Kathleen. She's tough. The doctor told her something about the way you're going, the attitude you got and the sense of humor you got. Six more years you'll be 100. She said 8 more years I'll be 102. In other words, you're dreaming too little there, bruh. Too little. Ready? Put your hand on her chest. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch Sister Kathleen. Let her feel your power, your anointing. God, we thank you, Lord, for her heart to work correctly, Lord, for her body to work correctly. Lord, they had to resect some intestines, Lord. They had to fix a hernia. And Lord, we know, God, that you can take care of all this. Everything ran smooth, and we're believing it's going to keep on running smooth. In the name of Jesus, let her come home. Let her get that 102. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah, we love Sister Kathleen. She's awesome. I hope I have that kind of attitude when I get to be 94. Matter of fact, I hope I get to be 94. We started something last week. Let me just tell you this stuff. How many's ever mailed anything? I've gotten some things mailed lately to me, and it said fragile, do not mishandle, and it come in with holes in the box. Sometimes I think they're actually boot prints kicked into holes in the side. Well, I sent away the film to be developed, and on the envelope it was printed, photographs do not bend. Well, by the time it got to my friend, there was the postman had folded the envelope in half and wrote on the other side. Oh, yes, they do. You'll get it in a minute. I know. Praise God. I sometimes get a little insane. How many have gotten any insanity running in your family? Actually, in my family, it gallops. Okay. Get your Bible out to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Stand for the reading of the word. We're going to do something special today. We're going to finish up where we started last week. You know, how many's had any burning bushes in your life this week? You recognized the burning bushes and you took care of it. You went ahead and let God use you. For those that weren't here last week, the burning bush, of course, is with Moses. It was God trying to get his attention because he was getting ready to use him mightily. And some of us in here have had burning bushes this week and don't even realize that it's God trying to use us, that it's God trying to do something special for us. Amen. You got to trust him. How many trust him? Amen. You got your Bible? If you write your Bible, say amen. If you don't, say oh me. If you got a cell phone, please put it on silent. That's what I was doing right then. That's right. We appreciate all calls, but they can wait after service. All right. Ready? Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. Y'all say potential. They saw his potential, and they weren't going to let Satan steal it. Let me tell you something. When you see your child's potential, when you see your potential, we're His children. And when God sees our potential, He knows our potential, that He's not going to let Satan steal it. But sometimes we actually cross the fence on our own. Amen? Y'all didn't say amen to that. All right. Because they saw His proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he was 40, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, where he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In other words, he said, wait a minute, I got to trust God that no matter what I do, if I'm doing it for Him, He's watching, and He's going to take care of it, and He's going to repay me, but He's going to have to do it on His own time. I've got respect. I'm going to let God do it His way. How many here want God to do it your way? Let me tell you something. This ain't Burger King. We don't always get it our way, but we get it His way, and we thank Him for it. All right? Where are we at now? Here we go. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he should be destroyed, the firstborn that should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as dry ground, which the Egyptians, saying to do so, were destroyed. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you're alive and well on the throne, Father. We know, God, there's nothing impossible for you, Lord. And we thank you right now for what you're doing in our midst. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, to anoint us, Lord, to help us see and to know and to understand that you got everything under control. Everything under control. Everything under control. In the name of Jesus, we love you. I can't say that enough today. Everything under control. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you. And the church said, on the way down, give somebody a high five and tell them God's in control no matter what I feel like. God is awesome. Now that's what we started on, going from existing to being effective. I don't want just to exist. How many have think you've got the gift of God to be a knot on the log? How many would say, God, I've got the holy gift of being a holy knot on a log? Nobody. God has not called any of us to be a knot on a log. God has not called us to be spectators. Do you know not one of us in here have been called to be a spectator? We've all been called to be a participator in God's greatness, God's goodness, and in God's glory, and we are to make a difference in the world for God. You see, here's the thing right here. Do you want to stand before burning bushes or dried roots? This is just a couple of slides from last week, just a couple, just to bring in some continuity to all these four things. Do you want to stand before burning bushes or dried roots? Now, a burning bush is an amazing thing to see. I love to think about a burning bush on fire, not consumed. We all should be able to see that and know that. Amen? But also, there's those dried roots. I don't want to stand before a dried root. I don't want to be before one. I don't have time for dried roots. I need to see some burning bushes in my life. Amen? And God has all kinds of burning bushes for us. Hebrews chapter 11 itself is all about winners. Okay? It's God's hall of fame, of faith. It's really an awesome thing. And so many times we think these people were supermen, that they had phone booths, that they just are supernatural people. And God let us know that they were natural people called to do supernatural work. They were ordinary people infused with extraordinary power from God. Everybody in here has the same capability. If God wanted to, right now, He could use any one of us to open a Red Sea. He could watch any one of us go through a fire and not be burned. He could see any one of us take a sling and a stone and take out a giant. God's not looking for super people. God's looking for effective people. And effective people are those that say, God, okay, here I am. I'm not afraid and I'm not ashamed. Use me. And watch what God can do. So remember, these are ordinary people who actually did some extraordinary stuff. And so let's just go a little bit further from last week. Kind of compress this stuff. There's several things these people had in common and we've got in common with them. Number one, they were not perfect. Who in here is perfect? Praise God, no hands this time. Y'all hear what I said? This stuff? But no hands. Look, they often failed. How many fail? Amen. But they all reached their goal. We're still going. We got goals to reach. We got places to go. Amen. We got things to do. But why did they do this? It's because they came to a pivotal point in their life, and they answered these four basic questions. And here they are. This is from last week. Number one, and here was Moses. Who am I? Number two, what are my choices? Number three, what is really important? And number four, what are my goals? And I'm going to go through and read these verses again when we get to each one of them. But who am I? What are my choices? What is really important? What are my goals? Everybody in here has to answer these questions in your life if you want to be effective for God. Moses answered all four of them, and here's how he answered them. Number one, who am I? Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, 40 years old, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And of course, and just put it kind of short from last week, the Bible says he was himself. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He knew that he weren't an Egyptian. He was a Hebrew. He knew that. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to let them label him. Some of us in here right now, you would be a whole lot better off if you let the world quit labeling you. Let God bring out what he put in you. Quit letting the world label you. He wouldn't do what God made him to do. Then, what are my choices? Again, we're just going to go through it kind of briefly here. Accept responsibility for your own life. Again, verse 25. Choosing. Somebody say choosing. Choosing, rather. And that word choosing is a very powerful word. It means to select, to decide ahead of time, also to make a deliberate choice. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, you got to remember something. He wasn't just enjoying sin. Let me tell you something. He had people at his feet. All he had to do was say the word, people died. All he had to do was say the word, people lived. He said the word, and his servants came to him, and they waited on him. If he didn't like what they had, then he could go and say, go get me some more. I don't like that. This guy here, as far as the world goes, virtually had it made. But you know what? He said, wait a minute. This is not what I'm called to do. I'm not called to get all this receiving to me. I'm called to be dishing out. I'm called to make a difference in people's lives. Not them make a difference in mine. Me make a difference in theirs. Say again, we have a choice. We talked about this last week. Do we place blame or accept responsibility? Don't blame everybody else for your life. Take responsibility. Be yourself. Do something and decide, no matter what I'm going through, I can change this. Amen? With God's help. Again, this is where we stopped. Maturity. Mature people take responsibility for their actions. I get so tired of hearing people say, you made me do that. No, I didn't. And then Flip Wilson became a multimillionaire by going, woo, the devil made me do it. Y'all remember that? It's Geraldine. If you have not seen Geraldine, y'all go look up on YouTube, Flip Wilson, Geraldine, and watch him dressed as a woman, and he goes, woohoo, the devil made me do it. All right, guess what? Devil can't make you do anything. You have a choice in life. Amen. So here we go. That's the first two. Be yourself. Take responsibility. Here we go. This is the last part. And then we're going to be through with this part of the series. Next week, we're going to go a little bit further. And we're going to talk about going from success to significance. So watch this. He established a value system. Esteeming to suffer with God's people that enjoy pleasures of sin for a season. Again, watch this. Here it is. That word esteeming means to weigh in the balance. He thought about this. This wasn't a fly-by-night decision. He considered his options. He knew that what he was about to do was going to mark him as a dead man to the king. He knew that what he was about to do was going to change the whole parameter of all the stuff he had going for him. And so he's watching this, and instead of receiving this suffering, he weighed in the balance, he considered his options, and then he considered the value of what he was going through. You see, here's where we need to be. He settled this issue. What is really important? Sometimes we get in fights with people over nothing. Churches are split up over nothing. We hear them talk about, you think this is a joke. It's not a joke. The church will split over the color of the carpet. And there was one church, they were trying to get a chandelier. And they had a church meeting about the chandelier. And they were going to get it. One guy stood up and said, "Look, I don't think we need a chandelier." He says, "Matter of fact, it's too expensive. Nobody knows how to install it. I'll give you all these reasons. There's too expensive. Nobody knows how to install it. Nobody even knows how to play it. And what we need in here is some light." Y'all didn't get that, did you? They didn't either. He thought the chandelier was a musical instrument. Now you got it. All right. Again, what is really important? Today, if you go home and your spouse and you start to go at it, ask yourself, does this really matter? Am I choosing my battles wisely? Do I need to actually fuss with my spouse over this? Do I need to fuss with my children over this? Is this really important? Is this really going to make a difference? Or am I just kind of feeling kind of my self-worth or usually a lack of self-worth? And because when there's a lack of self-worth, you will choose some wild battles that actually will cause more harm than good, when you can all just say, you know what, it's not worth it. I was in Pitt Detention Center Thursday night, and of course, the one man that calls himself Lucifer, while I was preaching to him, he hollered out and he said, "Praise the Lord," and then he started cussing. He looked at me and said, "How you like that, preacher?" I said, "I don't care. It didn't offend me." I said, "Matter of fact," I said, "God already knew you were going to say that." And I said, "God can use that filthy mouth of yours to spread the gospel. Let it rip." And he just shut right up. Then I go to the juvenile delinquents, the juvenile block. And there's 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds. And one of the guys, I knew something was strange about him, because when I walked by his cell, he started quoting some scripture. And it's just John 3:16 and something else. It was just a matter of fact, I think it was just John 3:16. He was quoting, but he quoted it twice in parts. I looked at him and I said, "Well, that's good. You know, John 3:16. I said, "You know, Isaiah 54:17. And he just stopped. And I started quoting the word to him. He backed up like I was shooting at him. I said, "Uh-oh, I know who I'm dealing with." He didn't want to hear me. He didn't have anything to do with me. Matter of fact, it was like, "Leave me alone." So I'm out here and I'm preaching to all the juveniles. And while I'm preaching, he starts saying, "Praise the Lord." And then he starts using some of the most vulgar language. I mean, vulgar language. And he'd laugh. And I'd say something else. He'd go, "Praise the Lord." And he'd start using some vulgar language. And finally, I heard him say, "What do you think about that?" And to be honest with you, I decided I just wasn't going to let this one drop. Most time I do, but this time I did. And he looked at me and he said, "What you think, you old Donald Trump, white-headed looking self?" And he went on ahead and went on with all this cussing. I said, "You don't bother me, son. You're fine. Everything's cool." And he wouldn't let it drop. I'm trying to minister to other guys, and he was disturbing everybody. And so I said, "Well, you know what? If God can use a mule and God can use a rooster, he can use you and your foul mouth." And then he really roped into me. I mean, he cussed me. I didn't know he was old enough to know that many cuss words. And when he got through cussing, I said, "Proverbs 24, he says, "What you going to do now, preacher?" And I said, "Proverbs 24:6 says, do not answer a fool in his folly." And he said, "Oh, now you're calling me a fool." I said, "No, I'm just quoting scripture to you, bro." And I started to walk out. Another guy said, "How do you know God loves me?" I said, "He sent his son, Jesus Christ." I never had the juvies act like this. And I said, "Because he sent his son, Jesus, to die for you." He says, "Who's Jesus, Satan?" And I said, "Well, you know what, fellas? It's obvious y'all don't want anything tonight, so I'm just going to go talk to somebody that wants it." And I walked out. And walked out, I said, "It's a shame. It's one thing for adults to be that way, and I'm used to that. We're used to that. We've been cussed like you wouldn't believe, but for juveniles, 14, 15, 16 years old, to be cussing and carrying on like that broke my heart. It had my heart so broke when I went out, I said, I cannot believe what I'm hearing. But you know what? Again, what's really important? I gave them the word. I told them all what they needed. Matter of fact, most of the guys were appreciative. They even, some of them even accepted Jesus Christ that night. It was awesome. But those two guys tried to make it hard for everybody. And I just told everybody, I said, look, don't let these guys ruin your night with God. What's important? He clarified his values. I mean, he thought it out. He didn't just say, okay, I'll do this. Some of us get an emotional high. And on our emotional high, we make decisions that we cannot handle once our emotional high is gone. He thought it out. Not only thought it out, he set up a value system. Let me ask you a question. What is really your values in your life? It's an important thing for you to think about. So again, here it is. Moses did three things. Watch this. This is so awesome. Verse 24, by faith, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now watch this. Watch this. This is so awesome. Ready? He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's office or daughter. Here it goes. Three things. Number one, God's purpose is more valuable than popularity. As Pharaoh's daughter, he had the world literally at his fingertips. People loved him not because he was Moses, but because they had to. They were scared of him because of all the power he had. So he was a popular man, but he was popular. Just like when you go over, and remember in Iraq, everybody was putting up pictures of Hussein. Had Saddam Hussein everywhere, and they were worshiping him and had him in his house. And when they toppled it down, how the people said they hated him and they were scared of him, but they were scared to say anything. That's how Moses was. But he said, listen, purpose is more valuable than popularity. You know what? When I was in that juvie cell, nobody heard me but me and about 20 juvies and the guard that was watching over. That's all they heard. That's all it was. But you know what? That's all that needed to be there. Nobody had to know what I was doing. I didn't care if anybody knew where I was at. I was in that juvie block because I chose to be there. Matter of fact, I could have skipped it. But no, I said, no, I'm going to the juvies because that's where my heart's at, with those juvies. And so here I was passing out books to them and trying to be good to them. And then here goes this. But you know what? Let me tell you something. God's purpose was more valuable to me than that popularity. Yes, sir, I got cussed. Matter of fact, who in here has never been cussed? Raise your hand. If you think you haven't been cussed, I guarantee you have. You just didn't hear it. Okay, all right. Number two, he discovered that people were more valuable than his personal pleasures. You know, I was thinking about Friday. Friday I was going to go see Brother Burton, and I was going to come on up here, and I had some other things to do, and I go to Brother Burton's. I can't get him to answer his phone. I'm not even getting a voicemail, which is weird. And so I said, Bethany, we're not leaving without him. So I go to his house to check on him, and in his house, the lights are on. But literally, the lights were on, but nobody was home. I said, something's not right. And so I text Mark, and I said, Mark, where are you at? Have you got your daddy? He said, oh, we're at Pitt Memorial Hospital. He's having a hip replacement. And so I wrote back and said, that's the first I heard of this. I know he's having trouble walking, but I didn't know this. He said he fell last night and broke it. So I go there and I spend all those hours there. I'm coming back and I stop at my father-in-law's because it's my turn to feed him supper. And I said, what y'all want for supper? As I'm walking out, Sister Doc calls me and says, Sister Kathleen has been rushed for emergency surgery in Craven. So I went and grabbed some sandwiches, gave them to my mother-in-law, go to Craven Hospital. I get home about 11:30 that night. Had I done anything that I'd planned? No. Matter of fact, I was going to go sit in Starbucks and work on some homework and work on sermons and just enjoy myself drinking Starbucks. Did I even get a chance to do that? No. I just run. And somebody said, well, didn't it aggravate you sometimes to have that happen on a constant basis? I said, no, because people are more valuable than pleasure. Wow. And so he said that. He said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then here's the hardest one of all. Peace more valuable than possessions. He He said it was better than having the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, yeah. You may think that you're having fun. Man, I had some fun. If sin weren't fun, we wouldn't be doing it. Sin's got some fun factor to it, but it's also got some numbing factor to it. And it's also got some bad feelings associated with it. And when you wake up the next day, you don't feel so good. After he tells you Satan, see, Satan is your tempter. And after he tempts you, he tempts you. Do this. You'll feel better. Do this. And then after he tempts you and you do it, then he becomes your accuser. And he says, if you had really been a Christian, you wouldn't have done that. So he's the tempter and he's the accuser, all in the same breath. He does one to get you to do it, and then he accuses you after you do it. So now, watch this. Watch. We're almost through. Somebody say amen. Okay. You got to have some values. Never, ever, listen to me, never take your eyes off the goal. Y'all guys, we're getting ready for y'all close. Never take your eyes off the goal. He was persistent. He was focused. He constantly kept that vision before him. And here's what I've noticed in the church world. Can I be honest? Anybody want honesty today? All right, just get ready, because this may be where some of y'all's address is at right now. Some of y'all are getting y'all's mail here. Get ready. Ready? Some have a used to vision. Well, I used to be on fire for God. I used to be happy about serving God. I used to want to do something for God. Well, I used to teach Sunday school. Well, I used to do this, and I used to do that, and I used to. And I get around people, and they talk about what they used to do. Well, you know what? I'm glad that you used to do it, but what are you doing now? I told you, that's one of those. I mean, that hits the mail slot with a bang. Well, you may have used to do a lot of things. I used to be. Look, I told y'all before. I mean, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I was a man trapped in a woman's body. And then I was born. I just see if y'all are listening. I used to be in high school. I used to work at Procter & Gamble. I worked at Fountain Powerboats. Used to. But what are you doing now? I hear people all the time say, look, listen, getting honest again. Look, I've done my share. Really? I pulled my time. Really? Well, I shouldn't have to do anything anymore. Really? Whenever I think about Jesus taking that cross up Calvary's Hill all the way for me, I can never say to him, I've pulled my time, God. I've done it. Let somebody else do it. You may not do the same thing, but you need to be doing something. Something. It's important. When I go out of here, when the rapture takes place, or whether I die, I want to be working for God and watching what he can do in my life. So many have started out right, but they have forgotten. I'm almost through. Look, I know some of you are saying, please hurry up. Get out of this. Here's part of having that vision. Watch this. By faith. I love this. The whole chapter of 11. Chapter 11 says, by faith. Moses, by faith. You know what? Now, I walked out of the hospital the other night. And I looked up at the stars, and I just raised my hands, and I said, I thank you, God. I have no idea what's going on, but I thank you, God, that you got everything under control. And I said, I thank you, God, that although my plans, these whole plans, even this plan for this week, everything I had planned got changed, everything. And his plans are getting changed. Because of circumstances, I just keep going outside and going, God, I had no idea, but you did, and I thank you. I was actually, my wife and I were going to go to Florida this week to a pastor's retreat. And we were going to be gone from today to next week, or excuse me, till the end of the week. But you know what? Yesterday, we take the dog to the vet. We come back, and I said, everybody's healthy. My father-in-law says, not me. And my father-in-law was almost falling over. And we checked his blood pressure. It was 188 over 109. And his pulse was doing like this. And so we took him right to the emergency room. And he was in AFib and had tachycardia. And he was going from 60 to 150. 60 to 150, abnormal rhythm. And so I looked over at my wife and I said, we're not going to Florida. There's no way. And I called and she said, we're going to lose all. And she was with me. I mean, she was there too. She said, we're going to lose all this money for the plane tickets. I said, God will help us. And so I called we tried to do it online, and they charged us $400 just to change the tickets. $400, $200 apiece. So I called up the man. He said, it'd be Delta. How can I help you? And I said, hey, Johnny Five. And he said, what you need to do? I said, we need to cancel our tickets. And he said, why? And I said, because my father-in-law's in ICU. And I said, we can't go to Florida this week. We're not going to go to Florida because they're talking about keeping him from having a stroke. And we're not going to leave because there's no way in the world we can go and have our minds on what we're supposed to be training for if all we can do is think about this and wondering what's going to happen next. And then he said, do you have proof? And I said, yeah, I have proof. And I told him what hospital was at and his name and gave the hospital number and the address. I said, now, what I need y'all to do is show me that Delta has a heart. He said, we can't do nothing. I said, show me Delta's got a heart. He said, Delta got a heart. I said, yeah. Well, show me that Delta's got a good head and a good heart. And he said, we got a good head and a good heart. I said, well, how about put your money where your mouth is? He said, okay. He said, I'm going to remove the $400 fee. I said, praise God, you do have a heart. He said, sometimes. He said, matter of fact, he kept talking. I kept talking to him. And he said, I tell you what, we'll just give you a voucher for these plane tickets. And we're going to refund you all of your money, every bit of it. You don't, because we were losing everything just to move the tickets. And he gave everything back to us, everything. I looked over at Linda and I said, I know God's letting us go through some stuff. And I see your daddy in intensive care. We're all sitting there in intensive care with him. I said, but there's one thing about it. God's showing us that even though we're in intensive care right now, that he's still in control, because he just took it to one of the biggest airlines around and turned their heart around. So if y'all recall, ask for Johnny Five. Okay. So now watch this. By faith. Matter of fact, I told Linda, she said, they're going to charge us $400. And it didn't cost that much to even fly. I mean, it was almost like the whole day. But by the time they got through with all the fees, it took our entire two tickets were gone. And I said, dear, you got to have a little faith. And she said, you talk to them. I said, I don't have a problem with that. I'm shy, but I can talk. Faith is a matter of first vision, not this. Right here. What you see here. When I look out here, we're not full today. When I look out there, I see a full church. I see a full, packed to the brim, standing around the walls. I've seen it before. At other places, we're going to see it here, I believe, with all my heart, standing around the walls. Why it happened now, I don't know. I don't think it's God's timing. When God's timing, you can't stop it. Matter of fact, if it grows fast, it won't last. I know we said, well, we've been growing for quite some time. Yeah, but we've also been losing quite some time. We got people dying. We got people aging out, all kinds of things. But you know what? You watch. It's not going to be long. I tell you, from this place is going to be standing room only. I believe it. I see it here. Look at what we got up here. Look at what's going on. Can you imagine? Would you even thought this a couple of years ago? Wouldn't even thought about it. It's amazing how God is making changes and fixing stuff and preparing us for something great. But before you can see it anywhere else, you got to see it here. How many here, when you were dating your wife, before you ever said I do, you saw it here? I know somebody up front said, yeah. Yeah, I found out later that was just heartburn. I had a guy tell me the other night, he said when he got divorced, he lost 120 pounds. I said, 120 pounds? He said, yeah, she weighed 115. And he said, I didn't eat a couple of meals, so I lost 5 pounds myself. Get ready. We're getting ready to close. First, you got to see it here. Once you see it here, you'll see it here. We want to see it here first. Show me, God. Show me, God. Watch this. Show me and I'll do it. Action. Show me and I'll do it. And God says, no. You believe me and do it, and I'll show you. You believe me, you do it, and I'll show you. Almost through. I know you say you keep saying that, but I've only got one more slide, I promise. All right. He left Egypt. He persevered because he saw. Who did he see? Him who is invisible. Who's invisible? God. You see, the vision of the invisible. If some of us could get that vision of the invisible in here, imagine what we could do. Wow. Here it is. Closing. Y'all guys, come on up here. Closing. Come on up. Moses never took his eyes off the goal. Never took his eyes off the goal. You know, last night when we were changing our tickets and getting everything ready, we were going to leave today, and right there at the last minute, we changed everything. And so Brandon was going to preach this morning, and so I called up Brandon, I texted him, and I said, buddy, I said, can you hold this for later? I said, I'm going to go ahead and preach tomorrow, and you'll be on when we get it redone to go back again. You'll be the one doing it. He said, okay. He said, you sure? I said, I'm sure. I said, but I'll tell you 100% in a few minutes. So after I got hold of Florida and got everything straight, I texted him and said, okay, I'm sure. Where? I'm going to be here tomorrow. And I was talking to Linda. Linda said, well, you've been through so much. Why don't you just let Brandon preach anyway? And I said, no. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I believe with all my heart. I'm supposed to be here this morning. And that's part of the things why God changed stuff, because people need to hear this message. And I got here this morning, and Brandon weren't here. And I said, where's Brandon? And he said, he's sick. God took care of Brandon in all this too. Because I know Brandon could have known that he would have got up here sick. He got up here sick as a dog, and he would have still done it. So God took care of Brandon. God took care of my father-in-law. God took care of Burton. God took care of Kathleen. God took care of my wife. God took care of all this. And I'm here this morning. I'm telling you, God is awesome. Moses never took his eye off the goal. And that is, listen. Where there's no vision, my people perish. That word perish, listen to this. That word perish means to wind away. You remember in the Holocaust, watching these people that had not been fed in those camps and how they were skin and bones? That didn't happen when they got there. It happened over the months of not eating and not being nourished and being treated harshly. And then they would dry up and blow away. That's exactly what this word's talking about. Where there is no vision, no clear word from God, my people will dry up and blow away. When God looks at you, as a matter of fact, I ask God to show me. When I look in the mirror, I say, God, can you show me what you see? Am I fat and sassy? Or am I drying up and blowing away? Let me see it, God. And to be honest, everybody knows if you're drying up and blowing away. Nobody's got to tell you. You know. You feel it. You see it. God, give me that clear word so that I don't dry up and blow away. I love this. Obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. That's what happened to Peter walking on the water. When he took his eyes off of Jesus, started looking around him, he saw the waves, he saw the wind. And he started sinking. Don't take your eyes off. And make sure every last one of us, that we answer those four basic questions. Who am I? What are my choices? What's really important? And what are my goals? God can use you mightily. And remember, don't want to hear, I've pulled my shift, I've done my share, it's time for somebody else to step up. Maybe in certain areas, but overall, this is not, look, God's retirement plan comes when you take your last breath. Some of y'all are getting ready to step into some new stuff. I know some of you already are getting ready to step into new areas of being used by God. And some of you don't even know it yet. Some of you do. But something's getting ready to happen. God's getting ready to do some awesome stuff. But you got to trust Him. You got to trust Him. Amen? Amen. I thought it was awesome today. Brother Wayne come up and helped me in communion. That was awesome, Brother Wayne. Thank you so much. God is God is God. Let's all stand. I'm just going to give a general altar call. All that will, you want to be used by God, and you're trying to answer these questions yourself. I want you to come up. You want to be used by God. You're trying to answer these questions even as we speak. Come up. Come on up here. Come on and let God talk to you. Let God talk to you. God, who am I? What are my choices? What is really important? What are my goals? Let God do something special in life. All that will. We got a few minutes before the Baptists get to McDonald's. Come on. All that will, come and pray. All that will, come and pray. I have discovered that when obstacles come in my life, sometimes it's a test to see if I'm actually determined. Am I actually in a position where my mind is made up to the point where I am going to get it done no matter what? Because if you tell God I'll do it no matter what comes. God, I'm here. God, I'm going to do it. God, I trust you. God, it's all in your hands. Who am I, God? What are my choices? What is really important to me? What is important? And what are my goals? God, it's easy to say I want to be used by you. That's generic. Go ahead and ask God. Put some feet on it. Go ahead and put some subject behind it, some substance. God, I don't want to just be used by you. I want to be used by you in these areas. You show me, and then let me be used in those areas. Show me, God. You say, well, I don't know where God can use me. Well, you can ask somebody, is there a place I can be used? Is there something I can do? Is there something you need done? Ask me. Ask some of the board members. You can ask Jeannie. Ask anybody, is there something? Or both Jeannies. We got two Jeannies now. Ask either one of them, is there something I can do? Is there something you would like for me to do? What's inside of you? What are you good at? What are you really, really good at? What drives you? That's a good indication. That's a gift from God to be used. Trust Him. If there's obstacles in the way, they're there to test your sincerity. Do you really mean it when you say, God, I want to be used by you? Because I guarantee you, when you say that, obstacles will come. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Go ahead and sing. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Do you really surrender it, y'all? All to Jesus I surrender all to Him. Oh, sing it, church. If you know the word, sing it. If you don't, hum it. Do, 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 do. Ready? Here's that chorus. Sing it. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Now when you go home, if you hadn't wrote these down, write them down. What am I? Look, who am I? I can tell you one thing you are. If you're saved, you're a child of the King. You're royalty. God's got His hand on you. God's got you for a purpose. God didn't save you. You know how many times, think about how many times you could have been killed already. You don't even know the times that God made the car go this way or that way, or how many times God looked out for you and you had no idea He was even looking out for you. God kept you around for a purpose. God's got a reason for you. What are my choices? Am I going to serve God? Am I going to let God use me? Or am I just going to flounder around like a fish out of water? Then what's really important? Am I going to major on the minors and minor on the majors? Or am I going to ask God to show me what's important and let me quit floundering around over piddly mess and go ahead and do something for Him? And then finally, what are my goals? More than just, I want to be used by God. That's generic. How do you want to be used by God? How do you want to be used by God? Remember, you got to see it with your heart before you see it with your eyes. Amen. Brother Dudley, we dismiss this in prayer, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You in prayer. We certainly thank You for the message we have received today, because it is a loving message. It's a message of life. And we ask You to please bless each and every one here. Bless that Miss Allen and let her become well and all the rest that are sick. We say our prayers to You through Your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.